time for the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk on MSO New Sports, bringing you the latest in high school sports news from the Merrimack Valley in southern New Hampshire. The Sports Desk is produced by Kelly Media and brought to you by the K-Band Savings Bank and Moynihan Lumber. And now your host, Dom Nicastro.
All right, Merrimack Valley Sports Desk. Dom Nicastro here. We're a weekly show, second to last in July. We are cruising along here in the summer, getting through it. What is it now? 5 weeks until football. It's crazy. It's approaching. It's going to be so soon. We can't wait. And speaking of can't wait, what a miss. Last week when I had Mukala Kabongo on the show, he alerted me that Chelmsford won the Division I State Baseball Championship. How in the heck did I miss that? I mean, I was looking around. I figured, there's no baseball teams in the Valley going to do anything. And look at what Chelmsford did. 14-8 record. Ripped off 5 wins in the tournament, including the final win, 8-2 over Braintree. And they finished 19-8. First state title in the MIAA era and first state title ever since 66, where they won some Class B state tournament. Who the heck knows what that was? No disrespect to the 66 team, but we're looking at 69 years. 69. Lou Gestazzi, the coach of Chelmsford for 6 years now, six early years, six quick years, and won a state title. Can you believe it? Division one. You're going to hear all about it. Very in-depth interview coming up. And he's a Chelmsford native and former athlete there. So we have a good talk. Turns out we were both at Sullivan Stadium in Foxborough in 1987 in December for a Super Bowl where my little 10-year-old heart was broken and his was filled with joy because Chelmsford beat Gloucester in football. I'm over it, though. Yeah, I might be. All right, let's get Lou on the line after the break and then just a little gabbing after that. Interview is done.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders choose Anderson Windows because they are the number one trusted and recommended window and door brand in the United States. Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
All the appetizers to get your taste buds going, like sliders, quesadillas, wraps, and burgers. Specialties like tropical grilled salmon, fajitas, turkey tips, steaks, ribs, pasta, seafood, kids' meals. And did we mention 42 beers on tap and 20 TVs for all the games? There's going out, and then there's Sylvan Street Grill, the best place to go on the North Shore in Peabody and Salt. Salisbury.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Hey, North Shore sports fans, mark your calendars. On Sunday, July 27th, Boston Bruins goaltender Jeremy Swayman, that's right, the Swayman, is coming to Kowloon Restaurant in Saugus for a can't-miss autograph event presented by, of course, the great sports world. That's right. Get up close with one of the NHL's top young netminders from noon to 2 p.m. on that day at New England's most iconic Chinese food restaurant, Kowloon, located at 948 Broadway in Saugus. You know where it is. That's Route 1. All right. Autograph prices, $69 for a regular item, $89 for premium items, and just $20 more if you want to personalize inscription. Spots are very limited, so if you're a diehard Bruins fan or shopping for one, this is your chance to score a rare collectible and meet Swayman in person. Phone orders are welcome. 781-233-7222 to reserve yours today. And again, presented by Sports World, New England's largest sports memorabilia shop, proudly based right in Saugus, the heart of the North Shore, since 1986. Can't make it? Give them a call if you want more information. 781-233-7222. Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, Dominic Castro, back at it with our one and only guest today. It's going to be Chelmsford baseball coach Lou DeStazzi, fresh, not so fresh, but a month or so away from an historic state championship for Division I baseball. Coach, what's going on?
Hey, Dom, thanks for having me. Yeah, and that's, it still feels fresh over here, for sure. It's been a good month.
I love it. Well, the Lions picked a hell of a time to rip off a five-game winning streak. Matter of fact, was it even longer than five games? Had you won a few at the end of the regular season as well?
Actually, we won our last game. We actually lost our second to last game, which I think was kind of a little bit of a wake-up call for the guys. But I think we really hit our stride. We lost to St. John Shrewsbury about midway point of the year. And then I think we went 12-2 down the stretch. So we were really, we got hot. We got hot late in the season for sure.
Yeah. We had our little warm-up call yesterday, the day before this recording, technical difficulties. But I don't think I asked you. That's a good point. Like I came in wondering like, hey, what, you know, were they like out of the blue hot in the tournament? It doesn't seem that way. I mean, you guys had a slow start, but, you know, 12-2 is no joke.
No, for sure. You know, it's weird. We lost a couple of close games early in the year to some pretty good teams, and we were 7-6 after we lost to St. John's Shrewsbury. We lost to them in extra innings, and at the time, I'd argue they were the best team in the state. So I think we that game was on a Thursday. We had a whole weekend to think about it, and came back and played on Monday, and I think it really reset our season. I think the team really looked at it like, hey, we can play with anybody. We've now, at the time, we had played already St. John's Prep. We had played BC High. We had played now Shrewsbury. We had already run through the MVC with, you know, Andover, Lawrence, North Andover, all the teams that are just so solid in the MVC. I think after that Shrewsbury extra inning loss, our team really regrouped and said, you know what, we can definitely win this thing. And then we rattled off, you know, we basically, our thing was let's win a week. And so we rattled off three games in that next week. We won all three. We went the next week. We won all three. So we went on like a little seven-game winning streak. Ended up losing to Andover in a 1-0 game in the bottom of the seventh in the last week of the season. That was the first time we had lost since the Shrewsbury game. But again, it was a great game. It was a great baseball game. So I think our guys were sort of brimming with confidence in the second half of the year.
Yeah. And did you know that you'd be, you know, the 14 seed at 14-8 coming into the tournament, and you would draw that team that you call the best in the state at one point and in the semifinals, correct?
Yes. Yeah. We didn't have an easy path. I actually think that's one of the most rewarding things that you know, as we reflect back on it, we started with Shrewsbury, you know, not St. John's, but Shrewsbury High. Was a very, very good baseball team, and the pitcher we faced was one of the best we faced all season. Then we had to play Bishop Feehan, who was ranked third in the state, but you know, you could argue that between them, Ton, and St. John Shrewsbury, those three teams were just sort of powerhouses all year. We had to roll, you know, we had to beat them, and then you know, Wellesley obviously was excellent, and then we had to go back to St. John Shrewsbury. So you know, those were just some really, really, that was like the iron of the MIAA.
Yeah. No team scored more than three against you in the tournament. 1-0 open up Shrewsbury, 12-3 Feehan. Then you go on another 1-0 game against Wellesley. So, I mean, these, how did you and your coaching staff make it through these games? Like with the heart attack situation going on.
I think I aged 10 years in five games. You know, I'm very superstitious. It's funny. My wife is too. I've created sort of a baseball family where everybody is superstitious and we all have to wear the same things. We all have to do the same activities.
Scrambled eggs. Yeah.
And so like, you know, my wife was getting frustrated by the end of the run there because she's like, my clothes are dirty. This is ridiculous. You know, I can't stop pacing in these games. I'm like, Yeah, I have a little watch and tells me how many steps I take. In these games, it's like 20,000 steps because it's just back and forth, back and forth. But yeah, the good news is when you play a tough schedule throughout the year and the team sort of it starts to accept that these games are going to be close no matter what, they don't panic. I think that was like the hallmark of our team, and anybody that observes any of our games, they commented about how our guys never panicked. I mean, those games were as you know, take your breath away type of games as you could ever imagine, and they stayed sharp the entire game, and you could see it even in the end.
Yeah, and speaking of the end, 8-2 win over Braintree, that does nothing to tell you the story of that game. 9 innings, which is 2 extra innings, 2-2 going into the 9th. And in some of those extra innings, I believe Braintree, the home team, was 90 feet away from getting the job done and putting the MIAA plaque in their hands.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and honestly, the bottom of the 6th, they scored a run to tie the game, but they also had a threat. They had 2nd and 3rd in the bottom of the 6th. They had man on 3rd in the 7th, man on 3rd in the 8th, which that guy was the winning run in both innings, and they couldn't get him across. Both times, our pitcher ended up striking out the batter to end those innings, which was just like, massive.
Yeah. Tell us more about your ace. I know just a couple of shutouts and then heading into the finals doing his thing again.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Stewart was our ace. He's been a 4-year starter for us. He pitched his first playoff game that he pitched was 4 years ago. He faced Franklin in the 2nd round of the tournament. Franklin was the number 1 seed. We were the 16 seed. And he went the distance. It was a 3-2 loss. It was a crazy game. We actually had a chance to tie the game in the last inning. And it was the most chaotic play I've ever seen in baseball. We won't talk about it. But yeah, he pitched an unbelievable game as a freshman. And that sort of started his legacy as like a big game pitcher. And then, fast forward all the way to this year, he was dominant all season long. He was the Merrimack Valley Player of the Year. He had totaled his regular season or his final stat line was like 8-0 as a pitcher with like a 1.1 something ERA. But in the playoffs, he got the ball in the first game. He went 1-0, a complete game, threw 59 pitches, which was just crazy. Got the ball in the 3rd game against Wellesley, against another excellent pitcher. We managed to score 1 run, I think, in the 5th inning, and that was all he needed. He even said it to us before, just get me a run, I'll be fine. And so he won another 1-0 game, went the distance in that. And then the Braintree game, we even had Coach O'Connell and I had a little, not argument, but a pitch count discussion in like the 7th inning because he was so shocked at how low our pitcher's pitches were, pitch count was.
Yeah.
But they had kept track of it too. And sure enough, he was only in 59 pitches, I think, through 7. He ended up going the entire distance, 9 innings, and threw 93 or 92 pitches for the full 9-inning game, which is just, crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. He's living in the 10 pitches per inning ballpark. And if someone doesn't really get that, that's listening to this, I mean, I don't even know how to compare that to it's, maybe it's like a tennis player getting like averaging like aces there, 5 aces each set or something. It's just efficient. It's strike after strike, it's location, it's challenging, it's confidence. It says so many things when you're pitching that few amount of pitches per inning.
Yeah, Andy's a strikeout pitcher. That's the thing that's sort of crazy. If you look at all 3 of those games, I mean, I think he had more than a strikeout per inning across the 3 games. So he's still racking up strikeouts with that efficient pitch count, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, it is. And tell us about the other men on the staff, the young men, because this was you obviously in the tournament, you have these back-to-back games. There's not a lot of rest. Pitch count factors in. You got to sit them down per the MIAA rules. So you have to be a little deep. I know you had a solid 1-2 punch, but you did have to have at least a 3rd guy too.
Yeah, for sure. I guess one of the lessons that we've learned over the last little bit here is that the 5 games in a playoff run, you definitely need three pitchers. You need three pitchers you can count on, because you're going to have two guys that start and, you know, hopefully they go deep. But then you're definitely going to need a third guy to be able to finish one or two of those games, or three of those games, if you will. And so we felt really good about our staff. We had, Matt Stewart pitched those 1, 3, and 5 game, the first, third, and fifth game. And then Finn Ramsayer, who's going to St. A's next year as a pitcher, he was just terrific against the 3 seed and the 2 seed in the tournament when he pitched in the second game and the fourth game. But then we also had a guy who's a junior, so he'll be a senior next year. His name's Jason Bilo. He's just a much different pitcher than both of them. He's sort of crafty, shapes the ball. He's got 5 pitches. And he wasn't afraid of the big moment either. So we had a lot of confidence in him to close out those games. And luckily with the Fiend game, we had a little bit of a cushion. So when he came in, it was his first sort of time pitching in the MIA tournament. Got his feet wet a little bit. But man, that Shrewsbury game, we played at the Lasher in Lowell. There had to have been 3,000 people at the game. Oh, I've never actually heard a state. Even the umpire said to me, I've never heard a high school stadium as loud as it is right now. And so that kid having to come into that environment against that team. And I think we were up 5-3 at the time. We pulled him in the game. There were a couple guys on base. He was able to get out of it and then was able to sort of close out the last inning. So yeah, it was electric, and you needed guys to have the ability to sort of block out the noise and just focus on their job and understand that we have a pretty good defense behind them. So, throwing a few strikes there, here and there, and you'd be fine.
It reminds me of like Hoosiers, where they're just playing in that small gym, and then they go, don't be intimidated by their fancy uniforms, the size of their crowd. And it's like, man, you go from a road game on an April afternoon at Billerica to Lalacher and Polar Park with these massive thousands of and the kids, the moment was never too big for them. Did you sense that in the dugout, that they were the same old like high school goofballs from one place to the next?
Yeah, I mean, we sensed it actually pregame. So we had a routine where we went to a local batting cage before all of these games to get a ton of swings in before we hit the bus and took off. And you just sensed the calmness when we were at the batting cage. And it honestly put me to ease. You asked me at the beginning about, how nervous I was as a coach. I was, and I didn't sleep the day before. I was, couldn't really work or function the day of. But then when I got to the field and got around the players, I realized, well, they're calm, so I might as well be calm as well.
Yeah, 100%. And I know we talked earlier in our previous conversation about a massive defensive play from your center fielder at the best moment he could possibly do that. Take us to that moment again.
Yeah, I mean, so first of all, our defense was terrific throughout this entire run. Really was, I would say, the difference between us and some of the other teams we played. But our center fielder was, he's a senior, John Latham. He'd been making plays all year. But one in particular, I mean, it was the bottom of the sixth. It may have been the bottom of the seventh. And they hit their leadoff hitter, who's going to UMass Lowell, excellent hitter. He hit an absolute bomb, like a 390-foot line drive to dead center with guys on base. And our center fielder tracked the ball down, and I still have no idea. I've watched the replay 100 times. I have no idea how he caught it. There actually was a guy on first base that knew that he wasn't going to catch it either, and by the time he actually caught the ball, the guy was already on third base. So we ended up getting a double play out of the play.
Wow. Okay.
And so, I mean, it's a game-changing play, because if the ball lands, I mean, both runs, the first runner definitely scores, and then the other guy's on third base, no question. He could even hit it inside the park home run, because it was such a bomb, and we're in Polar Park, so it's a huge field.
Yeah.
I think that basically saved us the tournament on that single play.
State final, and who was involved in that double play? Who got the cutoff, and who was the first baseman?
Yeah, I mean, threw it to our shortstop, and then, the runner was just so caught off guard. He had no chance of getting back. He was already at third base. I think he even tried to cut across the infield. So there was no shot.
Oops. Oops.
Yeah, it was a shocking. I mean, there was no third base coach in the world that was assuming that the kid was going to catch the ball in center field. So I don't blame them for being doubled off there.
Yeah, so he doesn't catch that. It puts the winning run on third, essentially. Or maybe
actually the winning run would have scored. So that guy would have scored. Yeah, we would have.
Great title done. Yeah. Great season, coach. Runner up. Wow. So proud.
Line him up, boys. Yep.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. What a momentum change in play. And you guys rip off a sixth spot in the top of the ninth. I mean, what happened there? Were you guys just raking?
Well, no. I wish we were. We had been threatening almost every inning. We definitely had guys on, you know, third base. Like I said to you in the pre-call the other day, we had so many threats. Both teams had so many threats in the sixth, seventh, eighth. But we just couldn't score runs. And then finally in the ninth, we had the bases loaded. We had been squeezing or trying to squeeze. We tried it three times in the game. And we had done it actually effectively in a couple other games throughout the tournament. So teams knew we were doing this. Was one of our, you know, as you scout the other teams, they knew that was a threat of ours. So for the last 6 years that I've been coach, we've practiced this one play every single day during practice. Whenever we take batting practice, we always throw in slash bunts. I've never once called it. I'm not a huge believer in it, but we actually do it more for their hand-eye coordination and kind of trying to isolate the upper half. And that's why we do it in practice. But, you know, I was watching Braintree was pushing so hard for the squeeze, and they were pushing so hard and charging that I finally called it. I had no idea if the batter was actually going to pick it up. He was a freshman. And so I give him the signal. He touches his brim of his hat. I'm like, oh my God, he actually knows what we're doing here. And he shows the bunt. They charge hard. He pulls back and just slaps the ball right between third and short. And it would have, the third baseman would have had an easy play, could have potentially got a double play out of it. But because he was, you know, 25 feet from our hitter, it rolled in for a single. We ended up cracking, you know, making them bleed. Basically, we got the run across, and then it was just sort of the doors opened up from there. You know, there were a couple misplays or a couple walks, and then a couple hits, and it just, you know, snowballed into a six-run inning.
Yeah, and who was that freshman?
His name's Aiden Brackett. He's our catcher. Kid just had an amazing year. You know, not only from a, you know, defensive standpoint, but by the end of the year, this is again coaching 101, right? Like, you don't know what you don't know. Beginning of the year, I was thinking I would be hitting for him because in the MIA, you're allowed to actually hit for somebody. So I figured out maybe he'll be able to catch because he's a pretty good defensive catcher, but there's no way he'll be able to hit varsity hitting. By the end of the turn, by the time the tournament rolled around, he was our cleanup hitter. He ended up being all conference. He batted almost 400. And
as a freshman,
just with the competition that we had. And he was our cleanup hitter. He was the spark of our team. Absolutely one of our leaders.
This is 2 years, maybe three, removed from Little League.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Right?
No. The second year playing the big time. I know. Yeah.
You know, he's in Cal Ripken, you know, 2 years earlier, and there he is at Polar Park. And did he get hurt in the middle of that game?
Yeah, it was a wild series of events. He got hurt in the third inning. He took a ball right off the Adam's apple, sort of he lost his breath for a minute, and so he couldn't, his vision was all messed up, and he had, it almost felt like a panic attack a little bit because he just couldn't breathe. And so we ended up having to pull him out in the third inning, and our team was just deflated. It's hard to explain how much he means to the team just because he's such a leader. Yeah. And so we gave up a run in that third inning. That was the first time, honestly, it was the first time we had been behind in the whole entire state tournament. So we had played four straight games and two straight innings where we never were behind. And then he gets hit. We had to take him out of the game. The team just had this deflating moment. We give up a run. That was the first time we had trailed the entire tournament.
Yeah.
But, you know, to his credit, I come back in the dugout after the next inning. I come back in the dugout, and he looks at me. He's like, "Coach, I'm ready to go. I can get back in the game." I'm like, well, I'm like, if I put you back in the game, there's no more re-entry rules. Like, you get one shot, and if you aren't healthy yet, this is it. And he's like, "Coach, I can get in the game right now. I'm going to get a hit." He was actually due up, so I put him in, and sure enough, he got a hit. You know, he's just like, it's a crazy story, and he's just a really a tough kid.
Yeah. It's just an Adam's apple. I don't need that, coach. Yeah. You know, I get my hands and, you know, I can catch. crazy. And for you personally, coach, again, we're here with Lou Destazzi, Chelmsford baseball coach, sixth year now for you at your alma mater, took over for Mike O'Keefe, correct?
Yes, sir. Yep.
He was your coach, long time, decades upon decades coach. And he's in the Hall of Fame for Massachusetts Baseball Coaches Association. And then it's very special because you have how many children on the team?
So I have two kids. One was a senior, one was a junior. My senior is sort of a funny story. Maybe not funny to him, but he had tried out his sophomore and junior year and got cut both years. He ended up being the team manager both years, worked with us every single practice. He was sort of a bullpen catcher on the side. He would be our first base coach. He learned more about baseball. He was so into the games. Yeah. He was actually a weapon for us a little bit as like a first base coach because he knew that he could sort of identify when other teams are trying to do pickoff plays and all that stuff. Yeah. So, fast forward to this year, he tried out again, and we knew he'd put in the effort, put in the work. And so we gave him a uniform, part of the team, sort of played that bullpen catcher role for us, got a few innings, got a few at bats. And then to be able to go on the ride and go on the run with him there by my side, it was just surreal. After the last out, the very first person I saw was him. So the two of us are just jumping back up and down on each other. It's just awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you win the National High School Baseball Association, that their Region 1 Coach of the Year, which is awesome. I mean, they must have looked at that and said, wow, what a run, 14-8, 14 seed, and then rip it off and finish 19-8 with a plaque in your hands. That's got to be obviously special too for you personally.
Yeah. I mean, it's awesome. I look at all that stuff as a team win. That's a team trophy by any stretch of the imagination. I can only coach good players. So if we're not very good, we're probably not winning that award. And to me, the best part about that award is it sort of puts us on the map. Like I love that Chumford baseball is being talked about. I love that we're being talked about, regionally. We're being talked about a little bit nationally. Like those things are the special things because it just helps continue the momentum of the program. As people are 8 years old, 7 years old, 6 years, whatever the case may be, when they're starting to think about sports and they see that excitement that happened in Chumford baseball, and then they sign up to play baseball instead of signing up to do lacrosse or soccer or whatever the case may be. Well, that just builds the numbers in the youth program. And then, that builds momentum in the youth program. And all of a sudden the youth program's competitive and that feeds the high school program. And it's just a self-lifting ice cream cone. So that's really the best part about all of that recognition is the whole program advances and has momentum.
Yeah. And then a perk and all that is, they grow up, strong young men and women, if someone wants to play baseball, it's a girl, whoever. They get to do that, and they get to win a state title every 69 years.
I wouldn't mind if we cut off that timeline a little bit, trimmed it a little bit for the next one. That would be nice.
66. So they told, what's great, and I've been in local journalism since the early 2000s. And what's great, every time something happens like this, someone comes out with the history, some old timer or something. Nah, they won it in 66, and there was some kind of Class B title. But the big story there is Chelmsford Lions never won it in the MIAA era.
Right.
They've
had some very good teams and obviously, some excellent coaching. Coach O'Keefe really changed the culture of Chelmsford baseball to the point where people expected to win rather than hope to win. That was kind of his legacy, his trademark, very disciplined coach. I learned, I think we really try to mimic what he created. And they've had runs where, North semifinals, North finals, they won the North in 2000, Division I North in 2015. So there's been times we were close, but this is obviously the first time we were able to get over the hump in the MIAA.
Yeah, 100%. Well, lastly, Coach, looking ahead to next year, I know you mentioned, let's start with the freshman. You got a sophomore catcher now who's already all conference and everything. You got some junior pitcher in there. So how do you feel about the 2026 club?
Yeah, good. I mean, we graduated 13 seniors, so we certainly have some rebuilding to do. There was a lot of experience that's walking out the door. But I have a lot of confidence. Our freshman team was undefeated this year. Our JV team, I think, only lost four total games. So the program's in pretty good shape. We've got a whole bunch of pitchers that got a lot of innings this past year as they built up. So I feel good about our staff. Our shortstop's returning. Our third baseman's returning. We've got an outfielder returning. So we definitely have some key pieces in place. We have excellent leadership. And I think the biggest thing is we have confidence now. I mean, what we proved, and I laugh about the 14 seed a lot. Like if you talk to me off the record, I'd say that we probably underperformed to get to the 14 seed. Like we were definitely a better team than 14 seed would have dictated. But we proved that you don't need to be the first seed, second seed, third seed, fourth seed. You just need to get a ticket to the dance. If you have a ticket to the dance, anything's possible. So our experience next year should help us, you know, with confidence no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah. Just give me a ticket and some massive arms that throw nine pitches an inning.
Helpful too.
And a clutch and a massive defensive play and, you know, some timely hitting and some coaching and then all that, you know, and some luck, you know, because you earn it. You earn your luck too. You earn your bounces. Yep. You earn your opportunity. So Lou Dastasi, Chelmsford Baseball, can't thank you enough for coming on again and on the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk. And it's been great. Next year, we'll get you on earlier. We'll get a flavor of what's going on in the regular season.
Hopefully we'll do this again in July next year.
Because that's right.
That's what, if we're doing it in July, it's only good things that are had.
It's a good thing. Yeah, I don't talk to, you know, someone who gets bounced in the first round in July. I talk to plaque holders.
Nice.
All right, Coach. Have a good day. Thanks for your time.
All right. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate you having me on. Thanks.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning on remodeling your kitchen or just thinking about it, may I suggest that you visit our kitchen cabinet showroom in downtown Beverly. There you will find some 25 kitchens on display, just as they might look in your own home. And you can also talk with our kitchen cabinet sales team, who really do know what they are talking about. That's at Moynihan Lumber, 82 River Street, in downtown Beverly.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Looking for the best place on the North Shore to gather with friends after work, on the weekend, or catch a game? Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. Enjoy daily specials, mouth-watering appetizers, and delicious entrees. There is something for everyone at the Sylvan Street Grill. Come check out the newly expanded bar in Peabody with 42 beers on tap and 20 TVs for all the games.
Sylvan Street Grill.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
All right, Merrimack Valley Sports Desk back at it. Lou Dastasi, you heard it. What a great interview. What a great baseball mind. What a great coach. Great program. Great everything. Great everything. Chelmsford Lions, watch out. Turns out that story was many years in the making. Great little young team, stuck together, same coach, same crew for the most part, and pulled it off with a tremendous run. Middle of the pack kind of seed ends up winning the whole thing. Doesn't get much better than that, folks. Merrimack Valley is back on top in baseball. When's the last Valley team to win it all? Should find that out, shouldn't I? Good stuff. Hey, thanks for tuning in. This is the second to last show in July. We got one more to go. Merrimack Valley Sports Desk heating up in the summer. Five more weeks to go, and we're pretty much in football. Friday nights will be electric once again. Can't beat it. All right, Dominic Castro signing off. Danny Martin, our producer in the back. Paul Kelly, who runs the show. And MSONewsSports.com and Rick Moore for hosting us. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Have a good rest of your summer week.